right? So Acts 7, verse 27 is where we want to be. The Bible tells us clearly right here. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, thence appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. Now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Father, please, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and exposition of your most holy word in Jesus' name. We've been in the book of Acts talking about Stephen's defense. And Stephen, as he's defending himself, he's gone through the patriarchs. He's talked, amen, about Abraham. He's talked about Israel, as we would call Jacob. And now he's talking about Moses. We saw last time we had 4 points, amen, that Moses, though raised as a prince of Egypt, it came into his heart to go visit his people. He was 40 years old. And God put in his heart to go and check his people out. Stop living for himself. Yeah, he was blessed, but what about his people? Secondly, when he went visit his people, he saw one of them suffering wrong, being abused by an Egyptian. Some would even say being beaten half to death. The Bible says that Moses, hallelujah, defended him. He became the aggressor. And then he wound up smiting the Egyptian and killing him, which was not in God's will. Moses thought that they would understand that he would be the deliverer for the nation, but they understood not, as our people often do. They perish for lack of knowledge. Number 4, Moses asked a question on the next day when he saw 2 Hebrews fight one another. He said, why do you wrong one another? And we said that's the $1 trillion question for our people. And I'm telling you here that this message is going to be kind of like last week. We're going to be dealing heavily with the Hebrew people, black people, the Negroes, amen. And we'll be able to apply some things to all Christendom, no matter what the races are. But remember, we're going to be primarily talking about us up in here, because our people need a good sermon or two. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. And so we'll have 4 points this morning. Amen. And we'll talk about, number 1, a ruler and a judge. Number 2, wilt thou kill me? Number 3, a stranger in the land. Number 4, a flame of fire. And number 5, I have seen. Let's begin with our first point, a ruler and a judge. It comes straight out of verse 27, where the Bible says, but he that did his neighbor wrong, thrust Moses away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? The Bible says, he that did his neighbor wrong. Some commentators and the ancient texts of the books that are not our Bible, it's some sacred texts, was the book of Jasher, the legends of the Hebrews. They seem to think that this is Dathan right here. The same one that Moses saved from the Egyptian the day before. It is now another day. He was getting beaten by an Egyptian yesterday, and today he's beating his own brother. You see? This is what commentators say is going on. And And when Moses sees that, Moses tried to stop him and say, why do you wrong one another? And look at his response. The Bible says here that he thrust Moses away. That means he put his hands on Moses. He pushed Moses back. Now the question I have is, why when that Egyptian was beating you, you ain't thrust him away? Huh? Huh? You ain't gonna put your hands on any of them other nations, but when it's your own people, you're quick to put your hands on your own people. Anybody hear me up in here? And that's how we've been getting on for so long. Huh? Quick to kill each other. Quick to hurt each other. You see? So he comes, he thrusts Moses away. And look what he says. He says, who made thee, who made you, Moses, a ruler and a judge over us? And God began to speak to me. God said, look how you won't listen to Moses. Huh? The same man been listening to Egyptians all his life. Now Moses, come here and tell him something. One thing, for his own good. The Egyptian was telling him leave his house early so the Egyptian can come back door and be with his wife. And he listened to the Egyptian for his bad. But when Moses tell him something for his own good, he won't listen to Moses. And I'm going to tell you what that's about. The Hebrews have a problem, y'all. We have a leadership crisis. We'll listen to every other nation but our own. Ooh, woo! Oh, I'm telling you, it's a leadership crisis, all right? When we get a Hebrew, a black, a Negro that's ahead of us in some kind of way, in some kind of leadership authority, we don't listen like we listen to the other nations. We don't listen. Oh, no, we don't listen. You see? All the way to when they was crucifying Jesus. And Pilate came out and said, behold your king. You know what the Hebrews say? We have no king but Caesar. Oh, no. His hair looked too much like ours. His skin looked too much like ours. We can't. He not no king of us. We don't follow us. We follow everybody else. And deep inside, y'all, it's a subconscious thing. When I say subconscious, I'm saying that it's something that we do and we don't notice that we're doing it. Are you with me here so far? We treat Hebrew different than we treat the rest. And the basic problem, Brother Sam, that we have is that we don't trust one another. All right? We don't trust one another. Let's keep it real. All right? We trip out how them other people lock their doors when we pair. But we be in our car, Leah and they pair, we lock our door on each other. You know what I'm saying? You know? Oh, yeah, we all done did it. The mother people pair, Chinese pair, we don't lock our door. You know? What's going on? We tripping. We don't trust one another. All right? And it goes deep, y'all. Let me pull it out of you for a second. All right? Let me ask you this. All right? Do we trust one another with our money? Would we take all our retirement and put it with a black investment specialist? All your money that you got, would you give it to a black man? A Latino man? And would you feel comfortable about it? Oh, yeah, we give it to them other people any day. Oh, yeah. Every other nation will give it to. Oh, here's my money. Here's my 401k. And won't ask no questions. And some of y'all saying, yeah, I give it to a brother, but you call that brother every day. So how my money doing? And it better not go down 2 cents. Come on, let's just pull it out. Let's make a case for conscience here. All right? Would you put your money in a Hebrew bank? Huh? Then why Liberty Bank ain't got more of our business? All right? All right? Okay? If you was in a bad predicament with a crime, would you trust a Hebrew lawyer to get you off? Or would you go to somebody else and trust somebody else more than the Hebrew lawyer? Listen, when I was practicing, they'd come to me for everything. Everything that was small and inconsequential. Oh, Pastor, I'm having problems with my lease agreement. Well, I wasn't even pastor back then. Mr. Tebow, I'm having problems with my lease agreement. You know? Stuff that don't pay nothing. All right? Now, the same one that used to come by me all the time. I would help him with lease agreement. I'd help him with his car registration, everything. Just little stuff. Oh, he need an order. I'm helping him. Now, homeboy get hit by coke. And if you don't know lawyers, we do little things to develop a relationship so that when you get in a big bind, you're going to come and see your boy. And we all going to be happy. We're going to be happy. We're going to be happy, happy, happy. But Trey, guess what my boy did? My boy get hit by coke. Go down there to the Almontor Corporation. And I hear about it. You know what I'm saying? In a few weeks, he bought my house, amen, and they out, and you know, and I just couldn't hold myself, Tyrell. I had to tell that brother a piece of my mind. And y'all know I'm normally quiet and chill. You know what I'm saying, Tamar? You want to talk to me how the weather doing, how the Saints doing? I mean, how the Saints doing? Let's get back to the word, y'all. Let's get back to the word. But we got a problem not trusting one another. Huh? Let's bring it closer. You got problems with your health. Would you go to the Hebrew doctor? Let's take it even closer. You got a heart blockage. Would you trust the Hebrew cardiologist to go inside your heart? See, those that know the information know that some of the best cardiologists, the first cardiologists, were Hebrews. But we got a problem trusting one another. Would you be a member of a black church with a black pastor? Well, I can't ask y'all that. Would you send your children to a black school? Would you trust a black mortgage company? I say black, but Hebrew, whether black, Latino, anything. Would you trust a Hebrew mortgage company to close on your house, a Hebrew realtor to help you pick out your house? You see, as we bring these things real to our heart, we could really see that we say yes, yeah, but we feel a little something even while we're saying yes. What I'm trying to show you is that through slavery, they work the work in us, y'all. A work that we still seeing the effects of, even, hallelujah, hundreds of years later. Anybody hearing me up in here? All right? And it's a work that we don't trust each other. We won't follow each other. We won't get under one another. Who had made you a ruler and a judge over us, he tells Moses. You know what I'm saying? And it's because of a lack of trust. And at the end of the day, what it really is, it's a lack of trust in God. That's what it really is. Because you want to know who made Moses a ruler and a judge? God made Moses a ruler and a judge. And God sent Moses. But since his people didn't trust Moses, guess who they really wasn't trusting? They wasn't trusting God. You see? Do you trust your own people? Or do when you walk up and you see the color of their skin, the texture they have, you think that they subpar some kind of way? All right? Or when you hear the Ebonics, the hood talk, and they don't talk like, hey, my name is John. They don't talk. You hear the grammar and you hear the dialect, and do you automatically judge and say, that's ignorance? When the people that made more money, the people that opened more business, the people that been through more schooling than you ever drove by. I'm going to tell you what it is, yeah, and we're going to get to it in a second. It's prejudice. All right. I'm messing up my message, babe, but I'm flowing with the spirit, so I'm gone. Listen, our people, some of the most prejudiced people I know. Oh yeah, y'all racist. Y'all prejudiced and y'all racist. And y'all want to come out there, bunch. They won't come out there talk about everybody else. Y'all the most prejudiced people there is. He said, Pastor, who are we prejudiced against? Yourselves. Yourselves. And guess what? That's sad. Oh, please, Lord. You know? So we won't listen to one another. Let me break it down even deeper. All right? In the households, it happened. Oh, yeah. black woman won't follow black man in the home. Oh, let's get in the business. Let's get in the business. Oh, no, it won't. It will not. I'm telling you. Oh, I ain't trusting that Negro. Now, let me tell you, black woman, if that's a white man you was married with, or a Chinese, oh, Mr. Smith, anything you want. Buy that car. Buy that house. Brother, come. Now, you know we can't afford that. You're coming in there with your rollers. You know we can't afford that. Let me tell you what your problem is. Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch. Your man done been beat down in front of your eyes so long to where you still feel the effects of you can't trust that black man. Now, it's not that it's not that we didn't do anything to warrant that as well. We've let y'all down as black men, you know, just being real. You see? But a change is coming. All right? We being restored, Frankie. We being remade and rebuilt. Amen. And the Hebrew that you're seeing, whether it's Latino or black, hallelujah, the Hebrew that you're seeing is going to be a new Hebrew man. A new Hebrew man. A restored Hebrew man. With a new type of thinking, a new excellence upon him. Amen. And so, woman of God, as you get your new Hebrew man, as your Hebrew man change, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to change. You can't treat your new Hebrew man like the old Hebrew man. Oh, I didn't get too many out of that. I'm telling you, they didn't want to hear that. Hey! Listen, you can't treat your new Hebrew man like the old Hebrew man. All right? Because he's not the drug dealer no more. He's not the drug user no more. He's not the drunk no more. He's not the womanizer no more. He's not the one that don't want to work and don't want to start a business. No, you got a new Hebrew man, so you got to deal with that Hebrew man different. All right? All right? Some of y'all could be frustrating your new Hebrew man. His heart is to do different, but you're still treating him the same. Why is she still treating me like a child? Why is she still not trusting my decisions? Right? The Spirit's saying, move on, Pastor. It's getting too convicting for the first point. Move on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. And look at the woman, some of the women of God doing like this. Oh, come on, Pastor. Pastor. Come on, man. Both hands. Pastor. They're doing like that. It ain't no temperature hot. It's relationship hot in here. We call this Maddie called this a case of conscience. We opening up the consciousness, the heart. And we're seeing what we have on the inside. Are we prejudiced against our own people? Does this affect our home life? Our marriages? Does this affect our parenting? Huh? Well, we don't even look at our parents with respect because of the color of their skin. Does it affect, amen, our church life? Well, we don't treat our pastor like we would treat a pastor of a different nationality. Because some of y'all want a meeting with me. Oh, Pastor, we got to talk about these banners up in here and the color of the sanctuary. We got to talk about the flowers that you picked. We got to talk about the way you paint the stripes outside in the parking lot. Yeah. Now, when you was at that other church with that other kind of pastor, you ain't never talk about nothing with that man. You never met with that man, never wanted to meet with that man. Oh, but you want to talk to Pastor. Got to get Pastor right. Because you don't trust Pastor. Because Pastor looked like you. And when we compare qualifications to pastor and most of the other pastors, I'm gonna leave it at that. But you're gonna come in. I'm gonna leave it at that. But you're gonna come and talk to you. Oh yeah, some of the most prejudiced people. But you know what? A change is coming. Come on, give God some glory. Give Him glory. A change is coming. We're going to start doing one another right. We're going to start trusting one another. And we're going to trust in our God as He selects one another to lead different things. Huh? Second point. Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Hallelujah. That's our second point. You see, when Moses front on the Hebrew, he said, man, stop that. Y'all hurting each other. The Hebrew pushing, boy, get off me, boy. You know what I'm saying? Get off me. He said, listen. See, who made you a ruler and a judge over me? He said, what you going to do, Mo? You going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? But you got to understand us. When we get into something with somebody in the streets, we don't talk quiet, no. We talk loud. All right? Now, Moses got this thing that he got in his secret. He done did some wrong in his secret. That boy lied capping him in the street. What, Moses? What? What? You know how them brothers act. How they act? How they? What, Moses? What? What? He pushed Moses. What? Oh, so what you going to do? You going to kill me? Huh, Moses? You going to kill me like you killed Egypt? Moses like, boy, be quiet, boy. We just buried that boy down that other day. But he lied capping. All right? And some of the other ancient texts say that he even threatened Moses. Moses, I'm going to tell Pharaoh about what you put your business in the street, Moses. All right? And what God showed me there, amen, is that the Hebrew people not only have a problem to where we can't follow each other, all right, and which is changing because we're going to put word on that. We're going to put prayer on that, you know? But we can't cover each other either. All right? All right? Now, of course, I'm not telling you to let somebody bury somebody in your backyard. And you harbor and abet a felon. I'm not telling you to do that. That's criminal. But I want to take that and bring that into the spiritual realm of sin. Right? We got a problem, y'all. When a Hebrew do something wrong, we be the first ones talking about one another. Huh? Be the first ones. Huh? First one, blabbing around the neighborhood. I'm talking about calling on the phone. News travel fast. Well, got the grapevine, the fig tree, everything working. They just sitting there. It's not good. This is what we do with our Hebrew leaders. Three wrongs we do. We expect them to be perfect. When nobody perfect. All right? Nobody perfect. Okay? We amplify their faults. When they do wrong, we make their small faults big. We're going to talk about every single one of these. And we broadcast their sin. All right? We broadcast it. I'm talking about Maria Placer. Oh, yeah. Y'all be wanting to dial Dalford on a brother. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is how we deal with one another. Because this is what this dude is doing. He broadcasts. What, Moses? You know, talking all out. You know? What we need to understand is that Hebrew to Hebrew, leaders, they won't be perfect, y'all. You see? I believe leaders going to have a high moral standard, but perfection was only found in Yahshua Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. All right? And our Hebrew leaders, amen, hallelujah, they're going to make mistakes. You see, Brother Randy, they're going to say the wrong things, they're going to do the wrong things, they're going to make the wrong decisions sometimes. Why? Because ain't nobody perfect, man. You know, are you perfect? Do you make everything, every decision, is it always the right decision you make? You know? And so we need to learn to have a little grace with our Hebrew leaders. All right? You see? But the reason we don't have grace, amen, because that subconscious thought of not trusting one another, and we don't want to follow each other. And so we follow to save face. We follow to say, yes, I'm with my people. That's what we say. We follow to say, I'm with my people. But the first mistake that brother made, oh, he come up here with two different socks. Oh, that's it, the spirit not here. Oh, God, like everything in decency and all. Them socks don't match at all. But there's confusion in every evil work. You saw all kind of scripture. I'm out of here. You know, funny thing is, you don't want nobody to judge you like that. All right? All right? And we do that subconsciously because really we don't want to be under Hebrew leadership anyway. So the first mistake they make, I'm out of here. And I'm back to my church with a different nationality. All right? I want to tell you, amen, you know, Trump make all kind of mistakes. Trump say the wrong things, man. Just in the news, man, he like lied, like right in the open. You know, what I meant to say was I would not. Oh, come on, boy, what's wrong with you? But one thing I got to say about him and his followers, though he make mistakes, them people with him till the wheels fall off. Are you with me here? Oh, yeah, he make a mistake with immigration. He make a mistake with, he got all kind of women saying he paying them and all kinds of stuff. Them people, look. The first little mistake your boss at work make, your pastor, your husband, finish. Something wrong with that. All right? Let me give you another one. Hallelujah. Remember, we amplify their faults. We need to stop amplifying one another's faults. It's a critical spirit. Jesus taught us well. He said, stop looking at the sawdust in your brother's eye while you got a wooden fence in yours. Brother walking around with a whole wooden fence. And he looking at you. You got a little piece of sawdust up in there. Oh, yeah, that's you're straight tripping. We amplify others' faults, but we minimize ours. You see? Yeah, Moses, you did that. Moses, you did that. Stop, bro. Stop doing that. You see? And what I have here in my notes, I say, you know, a lot of the times we focus on the one shot LeBron missed, the one shot Kevin Durant missed, the one shot Stephon Curry missed. But we don't figure in the 52 points he made the rest of the game. You with me so far? Ball done hit 50 shots. It come down to the game winner, Tyrone. He missed the game winner. We like, oh! Wait up 1 second. We wouldn't even still be in the game if it wasn't for the 52 points he put up. You know? And we got people that's acting like that. They fans that's just unreasonable. I'm done with Stephon Curry. I'm done with Kevin Durant. I'm done with LeBron because he missed a shot. That don't sound right, huh? But we do that with our leaders. Oh, yeah, I don't like the way Pastor put these gates in the front. I don't like the way Pastor got a security team. You know? Now, they're shooting up in every other church without one. All right? They're shooting up in every other church. I don't like the way Pastor don't let us bring big bags up in here. I'm out of here. I'm gone. Over one little thing you disagree with me with. Now, I hit 52 other points in the game. You a prophet. Oh, he doing it. Oh, every word was good. He got my marriage right. And I can't bring in my Louis Vuitton. It's over with. What in the world are you thinking about? That's unreasonable and unrealistic. And you don't know that from my position, my precipice, I can see things you don't see. All right? But you don't trust me yet. You don't trust me. You just know you can't bring your bag in. You just know they got one thing that I done decided on that you don't like. So you amplify my perceived and your perception fault. And you break ties. You see? It's unreasonable. You see? We got a deep embedded prejudice against one another. We do. Because you ain't doing that in the airport. You ain't doing that when they checking your bag someplace else. You ain't doing that at the mother church. You ain't doing that. But you come here and you want to do that. Negro, please. Listen. Look. Playtime is over with. Playtime is over with. We ain't putting up with that pressure. You're going to treat us like you treat them people. That's off the top. You're going to treat. Take your bag off. Go put it in the car. Because what you don't know is that from a security perspective, we understand that if they get a weapon that size of your bag in this place, we will be lucky if two people get out of here alive. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't know. You ain't never saw one of them things. I can show it to you. You ain't never saw one of them things before. You never been on the other side of one of them things before. All you know is you can't get your person that match with your shoes and your outfit won't look as fly. The size of that bag brings a weapon in here that can take limbs off of people. But you don't understand. And you look at me and you look at our team and our leadership, and over one perceived fault, you amplify and you want to break camp. It's unfair, it's unrealistic, it's prejudice, because you would never do that with them people. Come on, give God some glory. You know what I'm saying, man? Listen to me, man. If God is here and you're hearing the voice of God in here, I don't care if the people in the front say you can't come in here with shoes on. If God is in here, guess what I'm going to do at that door? I'm going to take off my shoes and I'm going to walk up in there. Because let me tell you something about God's presence. Because you see, if Moses would have been easily offended like y'all, when God told him, Moses, take off your shoes because the place where I stand is holy ground, Moses would have missed his calling. Moses would have missed it. Oh, no, God. Oh, no, God, I can't bring my shoes in here. I can't bring my purse in here. He would have missed his calling. Y'all better stop being so easily offended. You better stop being so easily offended. God is either here or he's not. And if he here, listen, I want to be where you are. And I don't care what they do. Look, they be up in here. Y'all can only come in here in white beaters. We be up in here all in white beaters. We all look weird, but look, listen, God talking in here. Are you with me so far? You see what I'm saying? Yes. Here we are. Stop amplifying faults. Here's the last one in this point. Cover your brothers and sisters. Cover them. Don't broadcast their sin. Cover them. Cover them. Don't broadcast their faults. Cover them. You see, this man right here, hallelujah, Moses, you killed, and he broadcasting Moses' fault. All right? Problem is, we all got faults. You know? We all got faults. And what we need to understand is that we don't need to gossip, rumor, slander one another about our faults. We need to learn how to cover each other. You know? There's a beautiful story, Mr. Tyrone, in Genesis 9, written about Noah, you know, and this topic of covering one another. You see, Noah had been through a lot in life, man. You know? Noah been through a lot. You see? What you mean, Pastor? Listen, man, God come to Noah and tell Noah, Noah, I'm about to destroy the world. All right? Not like Abraham, I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm about to destroy the world. How you sleep after God tell you something like that? You know, some of y'all couldn't sleep when y'all knew he was Hebrew. He tell Noah, I'm about to kill everything living. Everything. And then he tell Noah, he said, Noah, I'm going to need you to save the animal kingdom. I need you to put all the animals in two by two and the clean ones, put seven of them in. You know what I'm saying? That's a big ordeal, man. I often ask myself, how Moses got them lions and tigers in there? How Noah got them lions and tigers in there? I know not. You know? Can you see Noah over there? Come on. Come on. Come on, Mufasa. Come on. You know what I'm saying? But some of the ancient books say that the adult lions came and dropped two lion cubs to Noah and ran off. You know? That's what the ancient texts say. You see? Noah went through a lot, y'all. Not only did he save the animal system, the animal kingdom, the whole ecosystem, he saved mankind. Because if Noah would have died, understand this, humanity would have been over. But Noah got his family in there, his wife, his sons, his daughter-in-laws, he got them all in there. And then the rain started. Could you imagine Noah in that boat while everybody trying to get in at the last minute, scratching, trying to survive from that flood? And Noah just on that boat. Noah done seen some things. Been some places. Suffered some things. All right? Now let me bring it to you where we're going. So after the flood, Noah come out. He planted him a little garden. All right? And one of the things Noah wanted to plant, he wanted to plant some grapes. I don't know why. All right? Noah squeezed them grapes, put them in a cup, and he set that cup down. He set that cup down way too long. Something happened to that grape juice up in there. The fermentation process. All right? Noah drunk too much of grapes that he let sit too long. All right? And something happened to Noah. The spirit hit Noah, not the right spirit either. We would say in Southwest Louisiana, Noah got takala. Can you say that with me? Takala. That's right. Toe up from the what? Flow up. That's right. Yeah, Noah was gone. All right? And a lot of people talk about Noah, but remember, you ain't seen what Noah saw. You see? Noah probably got some PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You don't know what Noah saw. But we won't judge Noah. You see? All right, back to the story. Noah, he go to his tent. All right? Now, he's so drunk, he not getting along with his clothes for some reason. Him and his clothes not seeing eye to eye. All right? So Noah say, I don't want them clothes. Them clothes getting on my nerves, you know? You know, before you got saved, some substances make you not get along with your clothes. So Noah is in his tent having, I'm talking about, a dispute with his clothes. And he settles on divorce with his clothing. He just don't want it, nothing to do with his clothing. Irreconcilable differences. His belt is not happy with him, and he's not happy with his belt. Okay, listen, let's move on. So Noah in his tent, all right, no clothes. All right, he drunk. The Bible tells us that Ham, one of his sons, walk in there and see Noah having this dispute. And Ham, now Noah's sleeping by this point, you know, Ham begins to go crazy, laughing, mocking, cutting up. All right? And what he do is, instead of covering his daddy, we're going back to our point, instead of covering his daddy wrong, he go right outside the tent, and he say, Shem, Japhet, y'all come see daddy. y'all never believe the same daddy that hear from God. I bet he ain't heard from God today. Oh, yeah. If it was today, he would have been posting what his daddy did on Facebook. He would have been taking himself, look, y'all, look, daddy. Look. So instead of covering to where only Noah and Ham would have known his fault, he go outside the tent and he expose and broadcast. And now Shem, Japhet, and God forbid whoever else was listening to him mock his leadership, his daddy, because of a fault. Now, what you got to understand, I'm not excusing Noah's sin, no. You see? But when we look at Noah's life in totality, you see, he done hit more shots than he missed. Are you with me so far? All right? He done won more championships than anybody else. When the Bible describes him, in the New Testament as Noah, the preacher of righteousness. You see? You see, when God look at a man of God, he don't look at the little sin that you amplify. He don't look at David's sin that you amplify. He don't look at Noah's sin that you amplify. He don't look at this, that you amplify. But what he look at is the totality of that man of God's life and how God used that man of God to do great things, amen. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody in here. Because we amplify the sin of our leaders, y'all. Woman of God, you do it to your husband. You do it to your boss at work. You do it to your pastors. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not excusing sin. No, I'm not. But at the same time, look how many they hit, y'all. Look how many they hit. The dude saved the world. All right? So anyway, Shem and Japhet come out there. And instead of going in the tent and seeing their daddy fight with his clothes, they say, nah. We're going to do something different. Y'all still up out there? Look at your neighbor. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, cover me. Yeah. Because we all need covering. Look at your other neighbor. Say, cover me. Because we all need covering. We all need covering. Because we all do wrong. We all do wrong. We all do wrong. If you could learn this in your relationships with your wife and your husband, your children, and in church, we're going to really have a blast up in here. Cover me. Don't broadcast me. Don't amplify my faults. Don't expect to be perfect. But just cover me. Look what Shem and Japhet do. I think we have it on here. Look, Genesis 9. Look what they do. And Shem and Japhet took a garment. It took like a sheet or something. And they laid it on both their shoulders. They didn't go in forward to cover their daddy because they didn't want to see his sin and shame themselves. They put the garment, Antonio, on each shoulder, standing side by side. They walk into their daddy's tent backwards. Because we not having fun with your sin. We not mocking you and rejoicing in your evil. No. We're going to walk in there. We're going to walk in there, and we're going to cover you. Look how they covered their daddy. And you see, if somebody laying right there and we walking with a blanket, Montgomery, me and you between, and we walking and we just cover. All we see is them cover. They dropped it at their daddy's neck, probably tuck him in, oh, baby, and they walk out of there. Tucked him in. And they covered him. You see? You got to cover. Now, before we leave this point, listen to me, because we got to move fast. Ham, since he didn't cover his daddy, look what happened. Noah woke up and put a curse on him. He put a curse on Ham so strong, it affected Ham's son, Canaan. All right? Now watch this. God began to show me that when we don't cover each other, when we gossip about each other, when we expose the faults of one another, that we can really hinder blessings in our own life. All right? Follow me now. It's my belief, amen, that you don't have what you've been praying for because you ain't been covering people. All right? Because when you talk about others, God see that, and he'll withhold some blessings from you. You see? Just think about it here for a second. We're going to move on. All right? Some of y'all without a job this morning because you've been talking about somebody. Some of people, your marriage is messed up because you've been talking about some other person's spouse, some other person's marriage. Some of y'all, your health is messed up. Huh? Got an appointment with the doctor coming soon. Huh? Because you've been putting your mouth on people and God don't like that. Listen, you can curse yourself. You can curse yourself by uncovering. You can curse yourself by broadcasting. I'm telling you, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that use it going to eat the fruit thereof. Stop talking about the people, man. Stop uncovering the people, man. Sweep around your own front door, man. All right? How many in here not getting the prayer requests that they need because they're just playing the Ham instead of playing the Shem and the Japheth? You see? This dude right here want to broadcast Moses' sin. The Bible says the glory of a man to look over a transgression. When you can see somebody transgress and do wrong and look over it and keep moving, amen, then you really done did something. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Woo! All right. I just got a few minutes. I got to keep moving, y'all. Point number three. Y'all still up out there? Point number three. A stranger in the land. We get this from verse 29. The Bible says, then fled Moses at this saying, and he was a stranger in the land of Midian, and he begat two sons. All right? When Moses heard that boy lied cap and all his business, the Bible in the Old Testament said that when Moses heard that, he said, ooh, for sure Pharaoh gone though. The boy can't keep ice water on their chest. The boy, listen, the boy tell everybody everything, you know? And so here we go. Moses leaves, all right? He flees to Midian. Now, the ancient sacred text said that Moses went to Ethiopia first, where he becomes a great leader in Ethiopia. Here it says Moses went to Midian. Now, you know, the text say he went to Ethiopia first, then Midian, where he's married and ultimately he have some children. And God began to deal with me right here. Amen. You see, because Moses wasn't good enough to lead his people, and his people wasn't good to him. But when he fled and was a stranger in another land, these people over here, who wasn't Moses' people, treated him better than his own people. Anybody hear me up in here? They treated him better in Ethiopia. They treated him better than, they treated him better in Midian, where he was a stranger, amen, instead of amongst his own people. This is still the case today, y'all. All right? Today, we're living in a time where Hebrews, amen, need to hear the stark truth, all right, that we actually do right to others more than we do right to one another. All right? Once again, there is a deep prejudice running through our veins. All right? Once again. All right? Pastor, what you mean? You see, we don't treat each other right. We really don't. I ran across a situation recently under good authority, and a brother was telling me a story, amen, of doing business with some Hebrews, all right? And he was telling me that we give second-class work to one another in the area of business, meaning that if I hire a Hebrew, amen, he would do better business of a person of another nation than he do business with me. Anybody with me so far? Right? Listen, if we're going to be the economic juggernaut that the Bible is prophesying that we will be, we're going to have to learn how to treat one another, y'all. All right? And we can't allow other nations to treat us better than we treat ourselves, man. All right? I'm going prophetic now. You see? Why, when your Hebrew brother call you to do the service that you do, why are you going to charge your Hebrew brother higher than you charge them other people? Oh, yeah, it happens. You wouldn't charge them that to do that. Huh? You wouldn't charge them that, but you're going to gouge your brother out. You see? And sometimes your brother going to pay it, sometimes he won't. You see? You don't do that. If you're going to do anything when your brother come to you for business, you break your brother off a deal. You with me so far? You take care of your brothers and sisters, your Hebrews and Christian believers. Do good to all men, but especially what? The household of faith. All right? Now watch this. Let me show you another area. Brother Sam, Ms. Leola, you don't like this one. All right? We give our people second-class work in the realm of when we go to paint somebody's house. We don't paint as good in Vizé as we paint in River Ranch. Anybody with me so far? Oh, yeah, we in River Ranch, but we got a microscope on that line. We cutting that thing. Not a single pigmentation of paint is going to go on the other side of this wall. It's going to be cut right. That same painter going Vizé, huh? He up in that paint. Now, he ain't even cutting with a regular. He cutting with a big roll. He just... You know what I'm saying? And fast. And a little bit get on the roof. Oops, look, just keep going. Look, just. But they ain't going to see that. Why is it different in Vizé? Because you give your people second-class work. All right? You're prejudiced. You're prejudiced. Oh, yeah. Let me see what else. When we cut grass. When we cut grass in Macomb, it's different than when we cut grass in Bendel Gardens. All right? You be up in there in Bendel Gardens, weed eating and edging. You know what I'm saying? You got a ruler out there. Okay, it's 2 inches from the... You come out there, you pull out the barber scissors. You up in there, look, putting a laser on that grass. Look. You in Macomb, you just pass that thing right. No weedy, no edge. Miss Tyrone, tell me if I'm lying. Grass growing in the street, middle of the street, grass growing. Where are we? The jungle? What you doing? You're prejudiced. You're prejudiced. You're not giving the same work because it's a different people. What you're saying is that they're not good enough for your best. You're saying they're not good enough for your best. And you're prejudiced. You're prejudiced, man. You see? When you move their furniture, when you cut their grass, when you cut their hair, when you clean up their homes, when you close a lawn for them, when whatever you do for them, all right? You got to do your very best for one another. All right? All right? Yeah, you won't clean a house as good in Truman as you would in a settlement. Or you're moving stuff around in a settlement. Ooh, we're going to clean under here. You pass your mop around stuff in VZ. In Truman. We're not as good to one another as we can be. It's a prejudice. It's a discrimination. Even amongst our own people. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. It's got to change. Amen. And part of that change is coming to a revelation of what we do and why we do it. You see, when God shine a light on a thing, it means that he's done with that thing. It means that he's ready for change. He's ready for his people to do business with one another. He's ready for his people to do correct business, do right business. And that's what he really wants, man. Like just, yo, we can all eat. We can all live together. You know? We can make it. But we got to do each other right. Listen, let's go to point number 4, y'all. A flame of fire. A flame of fire. This is when Moses is called by God. All right? The Bible says when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord and a flame of fire in a bush. And we know this story because when Moses was on the backside of the Midianite desert, amen, he's walking by with his sheep, amen, and he sees a bush on fire but not consumed, meaning that the fire was on the bush, hey, God, but the bush wasn't being consumed by the fire. Leaves just as green and blossoming, hallelujah, as they ever were, amen. You see, when God jump on a man, hallelujah, he could set a man on fire, hallelujah. Hallelujah, but not consume him, not burn him away. You see, that's just the glory of Almighty God. But what I want you to pay attention to is it says when 40 years were expired. 40 years. Now, this is big because you got to understand, when Moses stood up for his people, hallelujah, in Egypt the first time, how old was he? He was 40. So 40 years after he's 40, how old is he now? 80 years old. Let me tell you what happened to Moses. Moses had given up on the calling. He had given up. Listen, when you 80, you ain't about to do nothing new, no. Usually, you know what I'm saying? You should, because God called us even after 80. But usually people, when they 80, oh, no, Moses is content with life right now. I got my children. I got my few sheep. They act better than them Negroes. I'm good. At least they're going to follow me. You know, most like I'm good, okay, all right? But what we need to understand is that it's not over till God says it's over, all right? And that you could give up on some things in your life that God, he's not given up on just yet, all right? And Moses could have gave up for a myriad of different reasons, all right? He could have given up because, number one, of his own faults, his own personal faults. All right? Moses did wrong. He killed the man. And Moses, looking at his life, amen, and his faults, he probably saying to himself, I've disqualified myself. I'm not worthy for God to use me. All right? And there's some of you in here, amen, you feel that way. You've done so much wrong, amen. You're like, man, how can God forgive me? Then you get over that because you're saying, you know, the Bible said, though our sins be red as scarlet, he'll wash them as white as snow. And so you get over him forgiving you and saving you, but you're still sitting there, he could never use me because of all I've seen and all I've been through. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lie of enemy. It's a lie of devil. Because usually the ones he'll use the most is the ones, amen, who think that they're not worthy. That's the one he wants. When we get to a place where we say, God, I can't do this without you. He say, okay, come on, now you're ready. All right? Moses say, I'm not worthy. But Moses, here's the secret. None of us are worthy. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. To some, it was murder. To others, it was promiscuity and running around. To others, hey, God, it was gambling. To others, it was drugs. We all got our past, y'all. But God will still use you in spite of your past. The woman of Samaria is coming to my mind. The woman by the well. Huh? Who done had five, six husbands, huh? And shacking up the moment where Jesus meet her, huh? And lived a life, going from man to man, let down to let down. But when she met Jesus, everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. And that one woman set a whole city on fire, brought a whole city out to Jesus. What you're saying, Pastor, listen to me, man. Don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself out. Especially because of your past. Don't count yourself out. Oh, no, don't count yourself out. Some of the greatest people in our Bible, including Moses and Paul, and there's a myriad of different others. Hey, God. God done used them in spite of their sin. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I have in my notes that God chooses the imperfect to carry out his perfect will. Another reason Moses might have given up, amen, on being the deliverer of Israel, amen, is because of the rejection that the Israelites gave him. They rejected him. And they say, who had made you a ruler and a judge? And so Moses say, he like, look, they don't even want to be under me. I'm giving up on this dream. All right. And what we don't know, amen, is that our God normally chooses that which men and women reject. He normally chooses that which men and women reject. When people reject you, listen to me good. When they reject you, especially when they say you're not good enough, that gets God's attention. Anybody hear me up here? That gets his attention. And what we do when we suffer rejection, we go into depression. All right? You need to change that. When you get rejected, you need to break out into a Holy Ghost dance. You got to, you should just start. Because rejection draws God's attention. It draws his attention. All right? I'm talking to a young man, a young woman who's been rejected by their family. All right? You're the black sheep of the family. You're the last in the family. They don't expect nothing good out you. They don't expect you to accomplish anything. Amen. All they think of you is jail, hell, and a whole bunch of trouble. They only expect to come bail you out. But I'm telling you right now, if you will put that rejection in the hands of Almighty God, God will make the last first and the first last. And the very one they say would not be anything, God will change it and you'll be everything. If you will just learn about your God and trust in him, forget what men say. Forget what men say about you. Forget what your mama said about you. Daddy, these people mean nothing in the economy of God. They mean nothing. You better dance a jig. You better dance a holy dance. Get your praise on. Somebody put a praise on it. When they reject you, put a praise on. Put a praise on. When they reject you, your business, your dream, your calling, your church, your school, when they reject you, put a praise on them. I'm telling you here, you put a praise on it. Our God has always chosen the small, the weak, to confound the mighty things. He's the God of David that they rejected, that he'll bring in the valley and slay Goliath. The way our God operates. The Bible says in Matthew 21:42, Jesus told them, boy, y'all never read your scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of what? The head of the corner. He'll take the stone that they throw on the trash pile. It ain't good for nothing. He'll take the good-for-nothing stone and make that same stone the cornerstone. All right? Now, some of y'all don't know, Pastor, what's the cornerstone? The cornerstone is the most important stone in the foundation of a building. The cornerstone is that stone that they build every other thing around. They build it all around that cornerstone, the corner. They done took you out the trash pile and made you the cornerstone. They done took you out the trash pile and made you the most important piece. Take that rejection. Take that depression. Huh? And turn that into joy this morning. Come on, give God some glory. I'm telling you. Listen, if we had time, we would go deeper into the actual calling of Moses. It's in 31 when the Bible says Moses saw and he wondered. There's a message in there, hallelujah, about when God calls you. Hey, God, he wondered. Hallelujah, there's something there, you see, because when God calls you, hallelujah, you got to pay attention to it. It caught Moses' attention. It alarmed him. It put something in his spirit right here, you see. When God calls you, hallelujah, you got to marvel at it. You got to see it. It's something out of the ordinary that happens in your everyday life. He's calling you, and it's to get your attention. Not only that, after he calls you, you got to draw nearer unto him. Don't run from the calling. Don't run from him. Amen. Get closer to him. Amen. When he calls you. And it could be a calling to the ministry. It could be a calling to a business. It could be a calling to a relationship. Amen. Don't run from God when you sense the calling. Run to God so he can clarify what he wants from you. The Bible says Moses listened to the voice of God because that's the voice you want to hear when you're feeling a leading to do something. You don't want to hear man's voice. You want to hear God's voice. Pastor, where can I go to hear God's voice? You come to church, you open your Bible, you get in that prayer closet. I need to hear God because I feel that God is calling me to do something great for his people. You see, Moses responded correctly to the call, and then Moses trembled, the Bible says in 32. He trembled. This is the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He trembled at the calling. What does that mean? He feared. He respected. He reverenced the calling. You see, when God called you to do something, you don't treat God calling, hey God, like an email, like a text message, you know, like a Facebook post, an Instagram post. You don't treat that like that. You fear it when God calls you because you know God's serious. You know God about to do something mighty in the earth. No matter what he called you to, the position that you have that he called you to is a big position. You see, Moses feared. Moses feared. He trembled. You see, when we look at Moses, Moses reacted properly to the calling of God. In verse 33, then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes. Put off thy shoes from thy feet. For the place where thou standest is holy ground. Come on in, Moses. I'm calling you. I need to talk with you, but you got to take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. You see? You see? You see, when you're hungry for a calling, when you're hungry to hear God, it don't matter what God tell you to do. You take off your shoes, not bring your purse in, whatever it is. God, I just want to hear you, God. I just want to hear you. You see? I'm hearing humility. Take off the shoes is humility. Take off the shoes mean that I'm not on the same level as you, God. Come on, Holy Ghost. Point number five. Come on, we got to get out of here. Montgomery, they holding me up, Montgomery. They holding me up. Point number five. Here we go, Miss Betty. I have seen. I have seen. No, not me. I haven't seen. I don't have my glasses. I don't see nothing. But I'm talking about God. God says, I have seen. Anybody happy that God sees in here? Anybody happy that God sees? Huh? Bible says, shall not he that formed the eye see? And shall not he that planted the ear hear? Shall not he that giveth men knowledge and wisdom, shall he not know, the Bible says? It's so good to know that our God knows, he hears, and he sees. So good to know. So good to know. Because sometimes we can feel alone, y'all. Sometimes we can feel like, hallelujah, we crying on our pillars. Ain't nobody even care. Nobody even with us. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, amen, that no matter how much the devil in the world make you feel like you're alone, you are not alone, that God is with you. Amen. All right. And a lot of us saying here, Pastor, I'm not alone. I always got a crowd with me. I always got an entourage. Listen, that's not what I'm talking about. Because you can be in the crowd and still alone. You can have a lot of people around you and not have people who with you and on your team, amen? We all go through seasons like that. And God will put us through a season where nobody else feeling us, nobody else understanding us, so that we can understand first and foremost that he sees us, he hears us, he's with us, he's walking right there on the side of us. He'll put you through that so you can understand that he's your biggest fan, all right? He's your support, all right? Couple of things I want to focus on in this text right here when he says, I've seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. I've heard their groanings and I've come down to deliver them. I want you to pay attention to these words right here. Seen, heard, and come down to deliver. I love these things, right? When it says I've seen, amen, this is drawing from one of the old Hebrew names of God. Amen. We call it Yahweh Roy or El Roy. Some people say El Roi or Yahweh Roi. Sometimes they say Jehovah Roi. I've been liking to use Yahweh instead of Jehovah. Yahweh Roi or Yahweh Roi. What does it mean? It means the God that sees. All right? And it's a deep name that you could use in prayer. Amen. Especially if you're going through a valley. Especially if you're going through some tough times, some dark places. Amen. You got to call upon El Roi. Somebody say El Roi. You got to learn how to call upon it. You got to learn how to call upon him. Because you got to confess to God, God, I know you see me. I know you see what they're doing me. I know you see how they're talking about me. I know you see how they done fired me for no reason. I know you see what's going on. my Elroy. You see? Hagar used this in Genesis. Hagar did. That was when Sarah kicked her out of the house. All right? And it was wrong, but it was God's will that she leave. All right? And Hagar out there, amen. She kicked out the house, Abraham's house. Hallelujah. And she ain't got no water. She about to die in that desert. And Ishmael is with her. Ishmael, his name means God hears. And a lot of times in your relationship with God, God will show you one side of him. Then he won't take you to another level. He'll show you another side of him. All right? Oh, yeah, Hagar, I know that you know that God can hear you when you pray. But even when you're not praying, do you understand that I see you? And everything that you're going. Elroy, she was about to die in that desert. It was so bad, she put her son Ishmael a stone's cast throw away from her because she didn't want to see him, hallelujah, go through death, hallelujah, through lack of water. Hey, God, he was going to die of thirst. And right at that moment, amen, the angel of the Lord came in and saved her and pointed her to a pool of water, oasis, right in the middle of a desert. And she looked up and she said, oh, my goodness. She said, you're not only the God that hears, you are Elroy. You're the God that sees. And you don't show up when I want you to, but you'll be there right on time. He says, I've seen. What did he see? I've seen the affliction of my people. He says, I've heard. What did you hear, God? I've heard their groanings. The Greek word here for groaning is an inutterable expression of pain, of grief, of sorrow that you can't even attach words to, but you feel so bad you don't even say words, LaDacia. You just go, whew. It's a sigh, it's a whew. It's, you see, we get to a place, we know he hears us when we pray, but do you understand that when you're going through, and you can't even, you can't even utter a prayer. It's just a, them bills, that Negro, oh God, what am I going to do with that Negro? God, he hears the groans of his people. I love that about Miss God. I love that about my God, Miss Betty. I'm telling you, he hears the groans of his people. Well, what does he do when he see the affliction and hear the groans? He says, I've come down to what? To deliver them. See, Maddie, some people can watch you go through and not do anything about it. Not God. Part of God's character is he's a savior. And when something is your character, you can't help but to do it. Anytime danger would happen, amen, not that I ascribe to, but anytime danger would happen, Superman would jump in the phone booth. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Well, anytime trouble happened, guess what God do? He come down and he save. You can't help it. It's not what he do. It's who he is. Woo! Now watch this. We almost done. We almost done. Here we go. How does he deliver? Look at the verse, good. How does he deliver? And now come, Moses, I will send thee unto Egypt. God delivers often through secondary sources. You see, when we want deliverance, we want God, a fiery hand, to come down from heaven, reach itself into, hallelujah, Mid-South Bank and grab some money and drop the money in our home. But a lot of times, it won't be God's hand doing it himself like that. He's going to move through what we call a secondary source. When you need deliverance and God see your affliction and your groaning, he's going to raise up a deliverer. Somebody to help you. That's what he does. What the Hebrews don't understand is that when we cry because of our affliction, when we groan because of our trouble, God will often raise up a Hebrew deliverer to come and deliver us. But if we go back to our point number one, that we distrust our Hebrew leaders, we don't follow them, that means a lot of the times when we're going through trouble and we need God to move, God will send somebody, but we don't accept their deliverance. We don't accept God's remedy because they look too much like us, sound too much like us. Their hair is not the proper grain and their skin is just a little bit too dark. Can you see yourself in your closet crying and praying, God, I need a breakthrough. God, I need help. And God send you a person and you can't receive the person that God sent. Moses, my people need deliverance. I'm not going to do it myself. I'm going to do it through you. You go. You go. I told first service this. A lot of times what we need, God has put a person near us to remedy the need that we have in our life. Ooh. We just don't know how to let God deliver through secondary sources. Anybody with me up in here? Like that old story of the man caught in the hurricane. And they sent the helicopter and the boat and everything like that. God, I thought you bought. You know the story. Now watch this. Husbands and wives. Huh? A lot of the times, both of y'all, the deliverer that God has sent to help one another. To help one another. You got problems in your character. You do. We all do. All right? And that little wife sitting next to you, looking all prim and proper, looking like she don't couldn't harm a flea, couldn't harm a fly. Oh, but when she get home and jump on your back, man of God, she become a different creature. It's like she grow big in that house. She come out there and she name all your faults and all your this and all your that. Not to broadcast, but to challenge and to correct and to speak life into you and change into you. Here you go. You've been telling God, God, I want to be blessed, but God telling you, I can't bless you until I correct some things you got wrong with you. I'm trying to get you right. I'm trying to deliver you, but we got to fix some things on the inside of you. All right? But the deliverer that I've sent to be married to you, to help you correct some things about you, you will not receive. You're not going to receive when she say that you're selfish. You're not going to receive when she say that you're lazy. You're not going to receive when she say you got your temper too bad. And all of these things I need corrected before I get you in the place that I have for you. But you will not listen to the deliverer I've sent because she 4'3" and because I've sent a deliverer, man of God. Oh, woman of God, I ain't done with you. You got some things you want from God. And God's saying, I can't put you in this neighborhood and do this to you. And you're not even ready for that. You're not even ready for that. You're not even ready for that. You're so filled with this and that and the other. You're not even ready for what you want. But I'm still willing to give it to you. All right? But before I give it to you, I'm going to put you a man of God in your life. Woo! That's going to tell you about yourself. Oh, and he's going to rub you the wrong way, and he's going to come, and he's going to say, you're gossiping too much. You're talking too much to them people on the phone, and you need to be worried about your own business. And he's going to come out there and say, oh, you're jealous of that girl. You need to not be jealous of that girl because we got some good things going on over here. And he's going to correct you, and he's going to tell you that you got a temper problem, and you won't put your hands on somebody. Where all that came from? I'm just, boy, y'all got some issues up here, boy. But when that man of God trying to speak into your life, you won't get mad. Don't talk to me like I'm your child. I ain't talking to you. And God looking at you and he's saying, I thought you wanted to be here. And I can't bring you here until you allow me to deliver you from what's holding you down. All right? And I put a man of God sitting right on the side of you. Yes, that's him. Yep. Look at him right now, woman of God. Look at him right on the side of you. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Man of God, I want you to say this to your wife. I got what you need. Woman of God, I want you to look at your husband and say, I got what you need. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. A lot of times God will raise up a deliverer right by you to help you get out of that situation. Listen to me good. If husbands and wives could just listen to each other, stop ignoring one another, stop putting down what they say, amen. Because a lot of times, if they made a list on a piece of paper of your top five faults that you need to correct, I'm telling you, either 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5, and some of y'all, 5 out of 5 of what your spouse put down will be exactly what you need to correct to get the breakthrough that God has for you. If we would just learn, and listen, I ain't good at it either, no. Because that little woman over there, boy, coming up here all a 5 foot, won't come talk to me like any kind of way. I'd be like, girl, I could curl more than your weight and you coming around here. But truth be told, she be right sometimes, Miss Chandra. And Miss Chandra, not all the time, no. Don't you? Not all the time. What I say? Sometimes. A deliverer. But not just your spouses, no. Because sometimes, amen, even if I was singles, you might not have a spouse. But God got somebody in your vicinity that'll speak words into your life, yeah? Oh, yeah. It could be old mama, old daddy, somebody you ain't like to go by. Oh, Lord, there they come. Because they're going to tell you about yourself. God always got somebody around you that's going to tell you about yourself. Even Balaam's donkey, look at him and told him, boy, you better stop. He's going to always have somebody that's going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. Stop hearing the people and hear God. I'm trying to tell y'all. Hey! Might be an old aunt. Might be an old uncle, Maddie. You know what I'm saying? Might be old crazy green-eyed old uncle. And tell you something you don't want to hear. You see? Might be an old preacher. But you come to church and oh, there you go, a little peanut head ball, always got something to say. And they get mad at me, my brother. I'm telling you, they get mad at me. But what you don't know is maybe God done put a word up in this old pastor to help deliver you from the things that's holding you down so he can get you to the next level of blessing. Hey, God, if we can learn to see his hand in secondary sources. Listen, we got to get out of here. Y'all done broke me a sweat. Y'all done broke me a sweat up in here. I don't know how y'all do it sometimes. Y'all just, we're going to get out of here. But before we the people, before, amen, we even learn how to deal with one another, we have to learn how to make peace with our God. All right? The only way for you to make peace with your God, since we all sinners here, since we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory, is to come to him through Yahshua Jesus, the Christ. Come to him believing that he died on the cross for us, believing that he rose on the third day, believing that he's coming back again. We be real with our God. God, this is me with faults and all. We open our mouth and we say, Lord, save me, a sinner. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Whosoever will. If you hear the Spirit, if you hear the church calling, if you hear your Savior calling, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God wants to save you. He wants to bless you. He's got a life full of peace and abundance just waiting for you. He's made the first step. You got to take the next. You got to take the next. If you're here and you would say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if I've really made my peace with God. Listen, we're going to call you to the altar here in a second. And you're going to come and you're going to pray with me. Admitting, believing, and confessing. God's going to save. He's going to forgive. and he's going to bless. It's what his Bible says. It's what his word says. But also if you're here and you've been struggling with your people, you've noticed that some of the sermon that we talked about, you can see some of those things in you and some of those things in people around you, and you want us to be one, but we really don't trust each other. We have this prejudice and we're doing each other wrong. You want to stand in agreement with me for God to change us and change this situation and help us see the deliverers that God will send in our lives. Whether it's our leaders, our pastors, our mamas, daddies, our husbands, and our wives, God, help us see the deliverers that's close to us. Listen, the ushers are going to open up the altar. And if you're here and you need prayer at this altar, listen, you can come. Ushers, y'all can come now. Y'all can come now. Just listen. You know if you need the altar. And you don't have to be lost to need the altar either. Christians need the altar. So listen, if you feel the Spirit, come on. Come on and come so we can pray and we'll dismiss. Come on and come. Come on and come. We'll pray. We'll pray and we'll get out of here. We'll pray and we'll get out of here. We just need to hear the voice of God. We just need to hear him. We need to hear him. We need to be able to accept him. We just need to hear him. You see? But Pastor, that man is too strong. That woman is too strong. God knew you needed strength. Nobody else would have been able to deal with you. Nobody else. That's why you have the spouse you have. That's why you have the mama you have. That's why you have the daddy you have. That's why you have the pastor you have. Let's pray. Say, God, our Father, thank you for loving me, for seeing me, for hearing me. You are Elroy, the God that sees. Look upon me now and see my trouble, see my affliction. See my sins. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I believe in you. Your death, burial, and resurrection. Save me. Cleanse me. Wash me. And use me. Make me a Moses in my generation. Give me an anointing with my people. I will love everybody. But help me, Lord, not to be prejudiced against my own people. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him glory in this house. A change is coming. A change is coming. We're finding out who we are and whose we are. And that change is going to allow us to take our place at the table of nations. The table of nations. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace. Shalom peace. And your body and your mind and your bank account and your finances. Peace, 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 peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Love y'all. Be blessed. In Jesus' name.